Well, good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Andrew with an audio message for Avalon Community Church, our Avalon community, and all of Catalina Island for the week of March 22nd. And we find our whole town of Avalon here practicing social distancing. And in a 1 square mile town, that's not easy, let me tell you. Especially with boat travel being limited just to a couple of boats a day, having only one grocery store for this entire town. It is crazy, but we press on. Each of us are trying to figure out what social distancing actually looks like because we're so relational here in this town. And for me, it's very weird being behind this microphone versus standing at the pulpit. One cool thing is I can wear whatever I want to wear. And yeah, that's kind of fun. I've actually considered sending my dog out for supplies since I understand that dogs cannot contract COVID-19. And yeah, anyway, he would be officially upgraded from my best friend to my hero. But he's the only one allowed out to cruise around in contact. I bet a lot of spouses right now wish their husbands or wives bought them a Peloton for Christmas. One of those indoor bike fitness trainers. Who would have thought Peloton would have the last laugh with all the excitement they put out over the holidays? I have personally picked up a crummy time to not have learned how to cook for the past 40 years. As I make my 30th PB&J in a row this week, I definitely need to broaden my cooking habits here as we're all indoors, or at least for the most part. It's a beautiful place. It's hard to stay indoors. It's hard to stay away from people. So hiking is okay, and certainly being out there if you get a chance maybe to go fishing or something, but really protecting yourself. It's such a crazy season right now. Things are developing every day on the hour. Flights postponed, sporting events postponed or canceled. Who knows about the Olympics? I just heard this morning. Weddings postponed, boat schedules reduced. All of it has changed the way we think. And today's sermon title for this weekend of March 22nd, 2020, is God, You Have Our Attention. God, You Have Our Attention. And that is good, because Hebrews 12:2 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We have some great scriptures in this message today on God, You Have Our Attention. And I'm going to start out with Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 22. I'm actually going to read from what's called the English Standard Version. We are looking at verse 18 through 22, and we're talking about Abraham. In these few verses here, it says, in hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, quote, so shall your offspring be, end quote. Verse 19, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Verse 21, he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Verse 22, that is why his faith was, quote, counted to him as righteousness. What a great paragraph here, describing the faith of Abraham through a lot of adversity, a lot of challenges, and a lot of things that actually made no sense, especially at his age. Let's move on to Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 33. We're looking at the parable of the mustard seed here. And Jesus is saying in verse 30, and he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth." Verse 32, "Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Verse 33, "With many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything." Guys, these verses are key for us today, and especially here in this series of crazy things happening, almost changing on the hour in our nation and the world. And I'd like to open in prayer this morning as we get started, and I'd like to set a specific focus for this prayer. Life can be very demanding, even for those that have the best intentions through all that is happening right now. But parents, school administrators, business owners, employees of all different types and levels. Perhaps there's someone listening here that has a lot of anxiety or fear over this viral outbreak, and or you needed, coming into this, a prayer to replenish your soul. Some verses to help replenish your soul and where you're at. Kind of like a well. And the one thing about being a well, according to the Bible, is that we're a living well, or a well of living water. And this well achieves its purpose when it can be replenished. And it's so important that you're not just going around and giving out and serving people while there's no one available to reaffirm you and to rebuild and replenish your soul. I know we've talked about that 1 minute pause, that free app that's out there called the 1 minute pause. Such a great game changer for your soul, to give yourself that pause in the day to replenish your soul, giving everything and everyone to Jesus for union with him. But without reaffirming and not having someone to reaffirm you and not giving that to God, for example, if you're a parent, you spend lots of time in your life just meeting the needs of your kids, especially full-time at home right now, no school going on campus. But you need a place where you can be replenished. You need that time. You need that getaway. And the presence of God can be that place where words that are deeper than human vocabulary can permeate your soul. You can hear from him, and it'll let you know that you're going to be all right. You're going to be accepted. You're doing the right thing as a parent. You're plugging along like everybody else with all the adversity and all the difficulty, and trying to figure out how to do this online schooling. I'm just praying that God will fill you right now. Focus now on that place, maybe as a parent this morning, that place within you that needs to be touched or that needs to be healed. Or maybe as a spouse today, or maybe as a business owner and you're discouraged with what's happening in our economy right now as a result of all that's going on. Maybe there's a place that needs to be reinvigorated. It's so easy to start a week on Sunday with passion and end the week just limping, especially with all that happens in the course of just one day with what we're hearing on the news right now. It's a natural course of things, it would seem. It seems so chaotic. But if you can find a place where you can come and be still and know that He is God. And pray that He is in control. Give Him all of the control that you want to have and surrender it to Him. He is with you always. He is with you now. He's in this place. Jesus is peace. He's a healer. He's a fixer. He is faithful. In Him there is freedom and liberty. Just cast aside some weights this morning and worries that you've carried this whole week. Raise your hands and say, Father, I give you every burden, and I trust you with every component of my life. You are my God. Fill me now. Get the second wind inside me that I'll make it through this journey. Help me to march forward in strength. You are a mighty God. Show yourself to be a strong God. Let your love run over in my life. Let your glory fill this listening audience and their rooms. My friends that are listening now, praise Him for His presence, y'all. Praise Him and say, I'm grateful for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, we are looking at this message today on God, you have our attention. And it is what it is, my friends, everything that's going on right now in the news. But don't worry about it. It's not what it seems. Faith is more than a feeling. Okay? Just like that band from Boston that says in their song, more than a feeling, right? Some of you guys are going to go YouTube that now. It's a great song. This is more than a feeling. I want to help you get things out of the abstract realm and get into your everyday life. Opportunity right now has changed the course of our life, and it is opportunity. We're raising families differently the next few weeks. We're thinking about things we haven't thought about before. We're taking into consideration changing what we have been socially, and it's become almost an online social connecting now that's going on virtually. That is what it's become. And let's be real with each other today through this message and these scriptures. You don't need much faith to be here and listening to this morning, or in church, or as a churchgoer, where we agree on the same things, okay? Faith is when you're in those places where everyone does not believe what you believe in, where there's not an environment that's conducive to whatever God is speaking into you, and you're being tested. Romans chapter 4, which talked about Abraham, and man, the world of extremes that this chapter is talking about, and the one we're living in right now, religious extremes, behavior extremes, crazy political extremes, and for sure, media extremes. You need to understand that there's ditches associated with maintaining an extreme position. Definitely some ditches and some low points. And I point this out because in Romans chapter 4, the issue of circumcision is discussed. And the Jewish community was directing the Gentile converts of faith that they were to be circumcised as a testimony to their faith. And Paul just comes in Romans 4 and is devaluing the appearance of things in favor of the substance of things. Where he gives an example of Abraham, who's justified by faith, where we are the seed of Abraham, my friends, or the offspring of Abraham, in the same way that Abraham lived by faith. We are to live by faith as well. The same way that Abraham had to bridge the gap between what he saw versus what God spoke. And we're going to have to bridge the gap with what God says and what we see. Abraham provides us an example that's both relatable and encourageable. In Romans 4, we learn of the specific parts of Abraham that are not working. We can see it. And let me ask you this. Do you have things in your life that are not working? I know I do. Important disclaimer here. We're not going to talk about our private parts today, okay? And both Abraham and Sarah had old and very malfunctioning equipment. In Romans 4, as with our own life, God can work in your life even if you have something that is broken or have some bad habits. God's able to work in your life even if things are considered dead, so to speak, in your life. Faith can fall into two extremes for people, okay? The ditch over here of delusion, and then on the other side, this ditch of despair. Both of these ditches are dangerous for those that want to develop a life of faith and live a life of destiny. And it's fueled and guided, you know, in other things that are totally opposite of faith. And have you ever met a person that lived in denial and then they blamed it on God? I know I have. They don't deal with their stuff because they state that God's going to fix it, right? Consider the Christian that trashes the environment and then says, why does it matter? Earth's going to burn up anyway. We're all going to be saved by a return of our Savior on a white horse, right? Totally delusional. It's delusional to think that someone on a white horse is going to come down and fix stuff when the Bible says that we're appointed to manage and steward as God's ambassadors on earth. That's not the way to look at things. That's not how our Savior's coming back. And that's a delusional thinking right there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1:26 says this, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then Luke chapter 12. Turn to Luke 12 in the New Testament, verse 24 and 25. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Abraham was not like that. The Bible states that he faced the facts. It is good to believe and live with the expectation that God can say a few words that can reorientate the entire way of thinking and your entire approach to a situation and potentially change a generation. Amen? If you preach faith in extremes, this creates, you know, unintended consequences over here where a person can transition into fantasy. And that's not healthy. It's delusional. The biggest concern is to live under delusion and mistake it for faith. There are people listening to this right now that are living this same way. It's easy to do. Okay, it's easy to do. For example, some pray to God for energy and health. However, the same person won't exercise, right? How about a person standing in the middle of the church proclaiming, I've got massive debt and I need debt cancellation. Please help us. Versus debt discipline. They need to focus on what they need to do to change their lifestyle, to get their budget, you know, back in the black. It's delusional. The popular thinking is to consider faith to be antithetical, very opposing to facts. And this is why people think that Christians are nuts. Because we're asking God to address limits that we created by our own bad decisions. The father of the Bible, Abraham, faced the facts. As seeds and descendants of Abraham, gang, we need to face the facts as well. If you don't face the facts, you may think that we're walking in faith, but the only thing we're doing is putting off the things that we're eventually going to have to deal with. Face the facts. For example, if you're looking for a spouse, you're looking for a husband or a wife, maybe you need to learn how to treat people, treat a woman, treat a man better than we're treating them. There are facts that are there. They're set in place. And there is a way things work. Facing the facts. First part of getting over something and getting victory over it is to own it. Abraham faced the fact that he was old, that he still was called to be the father of our faith. You know, so this must not be a delusional faith. This got to be a faith that's capable of sustaining. So even when you place doubt on it, it must be a faith with a very strong foundation where Abraham looked at the facts and then faced it. My friends, this is very important. If you're writing something down this morning, write this down. You can keep it real and keep the faith at the same time. Okay? One more time for my March 22nd audience here. You can keep it real and keep the faith at the same time. If you consider yourself to be a negative person, you can still be a person of faith. God will start changing your thinking, changing your attitude. Faith is not a delusion. Okay? Faith is a decision. And your faith allows you to face the facts that you're not delusional and will not leave you in a state of despair, because you still believe that God is able to do whatever he said he could do, where we can still believe in our God, even during doubt, disappointment, or discouragement, with all the things that are happening right now to our families, to ourselves, and to our community. I want everybody to say this, okay? If you're listening this morning, say this with me. Your faith can handle it. One more time. Your faith can handle it. All right. You don't have a weak God that can't handle your questions. He can still carry you even when you fall out of the boat. Your faith can handle a setback. Look at Abraham and Sarah. They looked at each other and said, "It is what it is." This doesn't necessarily make for a great Valentine's card, by the way. Yet Abraham and Sarah, they just kept walking in faith. I mean, it's okay to have negative feelings and still have faith. It is what it is. And it's okay to say it. It is okay to say it. I'm lonely in this season of my life. I'm hurting. I'm feeling discouraged right now. You can say it. And you can admit it to yourself. With all the things that are happening in the news, I'm a little anxious. I'm a little fearful. It's okay to own the fact that you're disappointed, that you thought things were going to come out better for your senior year this year, if you're in high school or in college. My friends, it's even okay to say it in prayer. Let me ask you, do you tell God when you are upset at him? Like God doesn't know? It's okay to say, "God, I do not like this right now. I do not like what's happening in the world. I do not like the fact that I cannot turn on the news without hearing the latest on this outbreak, you know, 24/7. And yet, we have a faith that can withstand the weight of disappointment. We do. There are some things in your life that you just need to face in faith. For example, I made a bad decision, and it is what it is. Hopefully you're not looking at your wedding ring right now when you say this, okay? But there's some things that you own, and it is what it is. If you don't learn to face a mistake, you'll just want to justify it, and you'll never learn from it. Then you'll treat the issue in a quote-unquote spiritual way. And I love this, where people say, oh, well, I guess God's abandoned me in this season of my life. That's crazy. Let me give you the examples of statements of ownership, okay? I was selfish. I was stupid. I did not invest enough in the relationship. I was unwise and undisciplined. I carried some stuff over into my next relationship that I had not yet resolved. My friends, faith is not a pill to fix something that you're not willing to take daily vitamins for. You can keep it real and still have faith. Consider Abraham. He did not despair. He did not deny. He did not deny the struggle. Some Christian theology is no deeper than a motivational poster. Consider this claim. I've heard this before. You have unlimited potential in Christ. No, you don't. There is no such thing as unlimited potential. There is, however, a thing called unused capacity. If someone tells you that you have unlimited potential, and that just flies in the face of everything you know to be true. If you have unlimited potential, okay, then play in the NBA next year. You can only produce what God has put in you. Romans 4:18 says, so shall your seed be. We are the seed of Abraham. Mark chapter 4, verse 30 through 33 is just telling us, we learn how Jesus is trying to explain the kingdom of God using a parable. And if you have mustard seeds in your pocket, you have a tree in your pocket. Although it's a very small seed, it's a tree. And do you see the tree in the person's hand? Your faith lets you simultaneously see it and call it what it's going to be. At the same time, using faith, you can see it in someone's hand and call it what it's going to be. And today you're looking at some stuff in your life that's either small or meaningless or inconsequential. For example, that gift that you have been given by God. And faith enables you to view the seed and see what it is going to be. A mustard seed will not grow to become an apple tree. So it's a waste of time to attempt to work at releasing potential that you don't have. And sometimes facing the facts means that there's some things that you're not going to accomplish. Okay, some dreams you need to let die. Why? So that God's dream can come alive in your life. Don't cry in the dirt over a seed that was never meant to grow in your life. God says, here's a better picture. The seed is a tree in a different dimension. Mark 4, verse 32 says, yet when planted, it grows and becomes. We need to know this well. Verse 32, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Isn't that a great verse? Consider this useless prayer. Praying over the mustard seed. I pray that this mustard seed will grow in my hand right now and grow in my hand to become 20 feet tall. What? Why doesn't this work? Should we pray a little louder, maybe? No, you need to release that which is in your hand. When planted, it grows and it becomes. Perhaps faith is about planting, growing, and becoming. How about making space in your life for what seems small and planting this thing in soil, expecting a good harvest? Let me ask you, congregation, what do you need to release today? What do you need to release today? What right do you have to expect a harvest from a seed that you have yet to release from your hand? When planted, it grows and it becomes. God says, I want to plant something in your life today. Let him do it, my friends. It is what it is, but not what it seems. It's a seed, but it's not just a seed. His body was as good as dead, but it was not dead. Yes, it is what you planted. However, it's not going to become what it once was. It was a crucifixion, but it's not what it seems. There are some things in your life that look like failure. Sometimes failure is the fertile soil that produces your future. How many testimonies do we have of that around here? Failure after failure of some of the most successful people we know. Perhaps you look back at a season in your life as failure. However, it's not what it seems. Peter tells us that the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Rejection is what it is, and it hurts like it hurts, but it's not what it seems. It is not what it seems. If you don't know this, you will always look at limitation in your life, not see the potential of your future, because you're only going to feel pain of your past and uncertainty of the present moment and this virus perhaps and uncertainty of my budget. Can I make my rent and how's my business going to survive? There are threatening giants all around you. It is what it is and it's not what it seems because there's an army of angels of God. There's an army of the angels of God that are surrounding the chariots of the enemy. Amen? Believe it. Maybe you're a parent right now and your kids are driving you nuts at home. A child's stubbornness can become a leadership gift of commitment, okay? Catch this tree. If you do the right things with this seed, it will become your tree. If you do the right thing with your pain, it will become your purpose. Some say, yeah, but Pastor, my husband's acting crazy, and I can't stand my job. It is what it is, but it's not what it seems, because we have the eyes of faith, and praise God for all that's happening in the soil. Come out of denial and despair. It is not what it seems. God has planted for you his purpose. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, we receive your word with gladness right now. For the rain of your presence is coming over this microphone. It's in this place where people are praying right now, wherever they're meeting, wherever they're listening. Thank you for a new faith perspective. Thank you that there is no regret that you cannot redeem. Thank you for letting us know that what we're going through is achieving a far exceeding glory that far outweighs our pain. Thank you that we're the seed of Abraham, the father of our faith, who considered his body as good as dead. Yet realized that you were able to do what you said you're going to do. We declare this today, that what you speak and what you say are more real than what we see. What you say is more real than what we feel or what we've been through. More real than our fear. My friends, as we pray, the thing that God most desires is union and love. So sometimes we're waiting on a word of clarity or a clarity of prophecy. Don't get sidetracked on that. That's not what he specializes in. That's not what he most wants from you. What he most wants is you. So you're not waiting for this phenomenal picture, though he may give you a phenomenal picture. What you're looking for is the presence of Jesus. And reconnecting with him right now in your inner life, in this prayer time, in his love and his reality. It's like, oh my gosh, Jesus is beside me right now. Ask him, what do I need to connect with you inside of me? What do I need to connect with you inside of your actual presence? Like, really, Jesus. Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, born in Bethlehem, Jesus, Son of God, lives inside you, my friends. Ask Jesus, what do I need right now to access the reality of your residence inside me? And for some of you, it just starts with loving Jesus. Loving him. And I don't mean but Jesus up in the sky somewhere. I mean Jesus in you, like here, intimately present. I love you, Jesus. I love you. And for others, you make it a different instruction. You may need to forgive someone. It's very simple. You just have to believe the scriptures that he used, and regardless of how you feel. Father, thank you for our few moments together this morning. I pray that you will allow someone listening to this to be different as of what they've heard and what they've read today in Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen.